This morning. So it changes everything. There are a lot of things that can change everything. I was just thinking that every time I go and make a visit to someone who has had a baby, just how that is so true is it changed everything in our lives a number of times. And still changing our life like we couldn't imagine. And so babies, they can do that. But here this morning, we're talking about something that is even bigger than that, and it changed all of history. And so if you have your Bibles, let's just jump right into it, because we know where we're headed, we know what we're talking about, and it's Easter. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll keep going. We've sung about it over and over plenty, and we're just now going to turn to God's Word and talk about it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 16, 1 through 8. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Mark writes this: "When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, and that he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come now to your word, Lord, we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to hear, help us to listen and find encouragement from you this morning in this time. Lord, what a blessed time it is as we have met already. And Lord, would you have your way now as we hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning I want to take a look at three truths that God brings to light in this passage to help us to follow Christ in the power of the resurrection. Because there is so much to fear in this world. We've sung about it plenty of times this morning about how there is nothing to fear. There is no reason to doubt. There is fear in this world. There is insecurity. Maybe we're here and you're facing discouragement. The list could go on and on, and I want us to be encouraged by the difference that the resurrection makes in our lives. Why it's such a big deal? Because there is much in our lives that can distract us from living in the power of the resurrection. And so there's three things that I want us to see this morning. But as we come to this passage here in the first few verses, the context of what we see taking place in this passage is that Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried in a tomb, and these ladies are coming. And they're on their way to the tomb to do what you would do in that day for someone that you love and care for. They're hurting, they're grieving the loss of one that they love so dearly. And they're doing what they can do, and they're doing what they know to do. We're told that they had gone out, they bought some spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' body to care for it at the earliest opportunity that they had. It was all part of that grieving and the mourning process of that day. The spices that they were going to anoint with, they weren't for preserving the body or embalming the body, but rather they were there for the purpose of covering the smell of a deteriorating body. These ladies, they loved and they were devoted to Jesus. They loved him, and that's why they were there. And we find them going about the routine of grieving and mourning for the deceased, but they had no great expectation. Jesus had said that 3 days later that he was the Messiah, and 3 days later he was going to rise from the grave. But they went, and they went around about their business as they knew best how to do. They didn't have those great expectations. And in the midst of going to care for Jesus, they also, we are told that they ask a question there in verse 3. The question is, who will roll the stone away from the tomb? And there, that's the only question that's recorded for us here. But they could have been going and they could have had all kinds of questions. Jesus, this one whom they love so dearly, had just died before them, and he was now buried, and he was gone. There were all kinds of questions that they could have been dealing with. The other disciples, we know that they're in a room hiding out somewhere trying to figure out what is it that's coming next. And now here he is dead. And how is he going to follow through on everything that he said was going to happen and who he said that he was? And how are they going to get to Jesus? How are they going to roll away this stone? And friends, when the unexpected happens in our lives, we can go through the same things at times. We can have all kinds of questions and concerns come in, whether we're in a bind financially, relationally, maybe spiritually. I'd say maybe we're not too far off from where these ladies might have been in a way, where we begin to ask questions, and we ask God questions like why? Questions of what now? God, where were you? Where are you? I can't not hear you. What's the point of all of this? The questions, they can just go on and on and on, and we've all experienced these questions, and here's where I want us to find encouragement this morning in this passage as we look at how God works. The first encouragement that I want to bring is I want to encourage us to look for God working in our lives. In the midst of all that life brings us, we can tend to lose our focus. Maybe at one point we were trusting and we had these great expectations, but because of everything that has happened in our lives, maybe our expectations are gone. And we ask questions, we get worn down, we get defeated. But then sometimes we do, and I want to encourage us to do what these ladies did. It says that they look up. Because whenever we look up, we gain perspective. It says this there in verse 4, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. Not only did they see the stone was rolled away, but they were alarmed. They were amazed and surprised when they came to the tomb. And they encountered an angel who showed them the empty tomb and told them that Jesus was alive. They looked up and they found the unexpected. And I think that is so key for us right there. And looking up, three things happened once they looked up. And I think they happen in our lives too, often whenever we take time away from the busyness of just looking down. Time away from our busyness and all the conversations and discussions that we're involved in, the things that we're working through, and we look up and we begin to focus on, okay, God, what are you doing? Mark's very intentional here in verse 4 when he talks about that stone. What kind of stone was it? Was it a small stone? Was it just a stone? No, he wants it to be clear that this was a large stone. A second ago, this stone had been a huge burden for them. There was this big question that they had, like, how are we going to get past a stone to get to Jesus? And the key thing I want us to see here is that they would have continued to have these questions. They would have continued to been asking, like, and wondering, and how is this even going to go if they hadn't looked up? But because they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, that the great obstacle and the issue that they were concerned about and were questioning was that it was taken care of. How many times do we worry about stuff and question things, and we look at all the problems and we look at the difficulties that there are in our lives that we are so focused on, and we're all worried about them, and we fail to look up and just see how is it that God is working in the midst of these hard things in our lives? Because if we look up, we can gain a whole new perspective, and we might even see that what we thought was a problem, it's not a problem at all. And when the unexpected takes place, not only do we see that our questions are no longer there for us to be asking, but we're able to continue to be amazed and surprised at how God is working. As followers of Christ, it isn't until we lift our eyes and that we see how he is working and how he's going to work that we can be amazed. And if we don't lift our eyes, even if he does work, we tend to oftentimes explain it away. When we lift our eyes, we can step through the doors that God is opening for us, and we'll be amazed at how he is working. And then ultimately, what it comes down to this is that whenever we lift our eyes, We find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he is risen and alive. He's won the victory over death. Death could not hold him down. That's why what we're singing this morning over and over, it's why we sing. That Jesus is alive. And without that understanding, we go through life defeated. And our faith is in vain. And the fact that Jesus is alive, it changes everything. When the ladies came to the grave, they were going with certain expectations and certain plans. But that changed. Now that they had encountered the unexpected, everything changes. All their questions are answered. What they came to do has changed. That's not what they're going to do next has changed. Everything changes, and it changed everything for them. And when we lift our eyes and we understand the power of the cross and the empty tomb and what it means and the importance of the resurrection, it changes everything for us just like it did for them. Some unexpected things have happened in our lives. We don't even have to think back past this past year. We probably don't even have to think past yesterday, but just let's look at this past week. The unexpected has happened. Things like the Notre Dame Cathedral caught fire. Who saw that coming? People we know were hospitalized. Someone here knows someone who passed away or who is on the verge. There have been automobile accidents. There have been storms, bad weather. Every day something happens that we don't expect. And those are the things that are hard that happen. And the resurrection has a lot to say against the backdrop of the unexpected. Because even then, God is working in unexpected ways. And because he does, we as followers can continue to live and be empowered and encouraged. And so as we look here at just this final two verses, verses 7 and 8, what do we see? And what's the encouragement that I want us to hear this morning as we move forward? There's four things that the angel says to these ladies that I think are helpful for us whenever the unexpected happens. And the first thing is this, in the first few words of verse 7, the angel said to them, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter." They got some direction as to what they were supposed to do. And I think that little line there has a lot of power because it says, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Mark wants us to hear "and Peter." This Peter is the one who denied Christ three times before the crucifixion. Can you imagine the guilt? Can you imagine the shame that Peter is experiencing? Maybe that he's feeling after he had been so certain that he would never do such a thing. And then go and do to the very one whom he had seen perform miracles and die on the cross. Maybe he's not so much different than you and I. If you have ever denied him as Lord of your life, if you have ever been ashamed of him, guess what? He's there and he's reaching out to you. And I wanted you to know that is an encouraging thing. He's reaching out to you. He's saying, "I'm not dead and I'm still reaching out to you. I'm longing for you to come to me even if you have doubted." Just think of how amazing that love is, that there he is and he is reaching out to you. But not only is he reaching out to you, but Jesus is leading you. What does it continue on there to say? But not only is he going, "Do I want you to go and tell the other disciples and Peter?" But I want you to know that he is going before you. He's not asking us to lead him as if he doesn't know where he's going, but rather he's going before and he's the one who is leading. That's so key for us to understand and be encouraged in our lives, that he is the one who is leading us. If he's going before us and leading us, that implies that we need to follow him and let him lead us, that we can trust him. We've been seeing this the past few weeks. I'm going to follow you anywhere, wherever you lead. And we got to know it's not about us. It's all about him. And where is he going before them? He's going to Galilee. That wasn't a place that was unknown to them. It was a place that the women and the disciples were very familiar with. And so can we let him lead us into the places not only where we've never been before, where we're like, "I don't know if we can do that," but can we even let him lead us and trust him in those places that are very personal to us and very near to us and very familiar with us? Can we trust him in those areas of our lives? Can we let him have control and trust him? that we are who he says we are. And thirdly, let's be encouraged and empowered in the midst of uncertainty, because what does it say there at the end of verse 7? Just as he said, he keeps his promises to us. It's what we talked about last week, that no matter what happens, that we can know that Jesus keeps his promises, and that no matter what, we can know that there is a plan. The angel said that he was going before them to Galilee just as he told them. And the questions that the disciples and the women were asking about the future and how things would take place that Jesus had talked about, they were all answered by the resurrection. Oh, I see how it's going to happen now. He is alive. Jesus keeps his word. And in those times when we wonder if he's going to come through or not and keep his promises, we can know for certain that he will, because he's a promise keeper. Verse 8, in the last verse, it says this: and they went out and they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. How'd they respond? They trembled and they were astonished. Even though we know that Jesus is alive and that he's longing to have a relationship with us, there's something that can be frightening about that, of what it means to follow after him. And it should be, because when we realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means we are placed in a situation where we need to totally trust him, totally in every single way. And sometimes that means he's going to lead us into places where we're like, outside of trusting him, it's going to be super hard. But here are things that ordinarily happened changed that day. A dead man came back to life, and the world has been turned upside down for these ladies. And everything changed. And so for us as followers of Christ, the same thing can be the case. In Revelation 1:17, here's John's response. His response is, whenever he saw the glorified Christ, is that he falls down as though dead. It's a terrifying experience when we truly understand the power of Jesus. When we encounter the glorified Christ, we are changed and we can't ever be the same. And I know as I look out, that's the story for many of us. That's the story for all of us who are following after Christ and who have experienced his grace and his mercy. Our lives can never be the same. And that we are changed to the core. The resurrection changes everything. And that means that everything that Jesus says is true, it means that even in the darkest of days, we can know that better days are yet to come. It means that if we're hurting and there is loss and maybe we're grieving, it means that there is comfort and hope. It means that whenever the questions are swirling all around in our heads and we question and we are wondering and the obstacles seem great, like a large rock that is impassable, it means that miracles are possible and that Jesus is more powerful and that God will make a way. So I want to encourage us, let's keep on trusting him and let's live in the reality of the power of the resurrection. Let's expect great things. Let's look for how God is working and let's trust how he is leading. But the biggest thing in all of this that I want us to hear, and the biggest thing that changes, is that Jesus' death and that Jesus' resurrection that they make a difference in is this: that if it wasn't for his death and resurrection, in our sinfulness before a holy God, we would be in a hopeless, hopeless situation, because we're deserving of the punishment and the wrath of God. It's what the Apostle Paul tells the church in Rome in Romans 6:23. He says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. And we're all sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's what we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God. But it doesn't stop there. Because there's hope, because it's the gift of God, is eternal life. And he's talking about Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he reminded the church in Philippi, in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, that this is who Jesus is. He says, this Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Guys, he came. This Jesus that we celebrate, he is alive today, and that there is an empty tomb means that, and for him to come back to life means that he had to have died, and that there was the crucifixion. And he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross, so that anyone, that's anyone, that's A-N-Y-O-N-E, that's anyone, that's all of us, and anyone can be saved if they'll come to him and confess their sin and turn in repentance and faith and follow him as their Lord and Savior. It's because he was crucified, buried, and because he has risen from the dead. Death could not hold him down, and everything that he said he would do, he has done, he is doing. And he's alive and he is reigning over all creation. And so this morning, if you're here and you have yet to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this morning I want to ask you to do so. I want to invite you to do so. This is the one who has overcome sin and death. He is alive. He is the one who is the one who has created everything. He is the one whom by whom all things hold together. That's Jesus. And if you aren't following Jesus today, will you come and will you follow him today? Because there is no room and there is no reason to fear. Jesus is alive and he's in control. There is no need for insecurity because Jesus is your security. He's all that you need. You need no one else. There is no need for discouragement in our lives because Jesus is alive and he's working for your good and for his glory. What can be more encouraging than that? The list goes on and on, friends. Jesus is the answer, and he changes everything. And so this morning, I invite you, and I want to encourage us all, let's follow Jesus, and let's surrender our lives to follow him wherever he leads. This is the reality of the resurrection, that the dead are given new life. And so will you take hold of the new life Christ offers? Will you accept the frightening, awesome, wonderful news that will change your life, that the Lord is risen? He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. I just want to ask you to consider and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you now. Like, what is it that he is saying to you? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just come to you now. What else can we say but thank you? That in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the discouragement, in the midst of the darkness, Lord, here you are and you step in and you do the unexpected. The stone's been rolled away, the tomb is empty, that you are alive, and that you've gone before us. And Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning who's feeling like Peter could have been at that time. Just not long before this, there he is, and he's denied. He's experiencing all kinds of shame and all kinds of guilt, and there you are, and you're saying, I'm reaching out to you, Peter. You're saying to us this morning, no matter what our sin is, no matter where we've been, what we've come through, what we've done or not done, Lord, you're reaching out to us. You're saying, I want a relationship with you. And maybe we're here this morning and we're that person who is just needing to know that you're leading us, that we can trust you. And maybe it's into one of those places that's really personal and it's really hard, and we need to know, God, that you love us and that you're with us. Lord, maybe this morning we're here and we have yet to, and we've never really turned to you in repentance and in faith. And we've never really said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead. I want to walk in obedience. Maybe this morning is that morning. If that's you, I want to just invite you just to pray. Pray this along with me in your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I need your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, I'm turning. I'm turning to you. And I'm placing my faith and my trust in all that was accomplished at the cross. I'm turning to you in faith. And I know that outside of you, I cannot do this on my own. I need you. So, Lord, would you come? Would you rescue me? Would you save me? Would you forgive me? Because here I am, wanting to live for your glory and yours alone. Lord, I thank you for the power of the resurrection. And help us to walk in and live this resurrected life that you've given us. And as we sing these words, who could I imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages, that you step down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I am yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And so, hallelujah, we sing. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There is salvation in your name. It's all about you, Jesus. You are our living hope. We give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing.